Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, October 12th, 2015. And with me today, I have John Martellaro. How's it going, John?
It's going good. Good morning.
Good morning. And hey, our sponsor this week is Casper, the awesome mattress company, which is really great. And you can start working on your own climbing in bed jokes right now while you're working on those. John, I thought what we should do is hop into a topic. And the topic that I thought would be kind of interesting to look at is actually a follow-up to last week. So we wrapped up the week talking about Elon Musk and how he was talking a little smack about Apple and Apple's Project Titan, which is a car project. And then on the show, Brian started talking about his sources, which told him that some of the things that Elon Musk was saying, like all the employees Apple has been hiring away from his company were actually people he fired. That's not true.
No.
And then later on, Elon kind of backpedaled on some of the things he was saying. On a side note, one thing I didn't mention last week, which was really bothering me, it just felt kind of uncool that Elon would bag on former employees like that. Because the implication is, these aren't people that can cut it, they're not qualified or competent, and so I fired them, ha ha ha. And I didn't like that.
Something ticked him off.
Something
ticked him off. Really irritated.
And this is why I wanted you here today, because you had some thoughts on what's going on here, and I really wanted to get your take on the whole Elon Musk, Apple in the car business thing.
I wrote about this in Particle Debris on Friday. It was the preamble, page one, where I pick my favorite subject or article of the week and wax pontifical.
Wax pontifical.
If one can say that.
Okay, so your new business card is going to say pontifical waxer.
Something like that. And yeah, as I said, I kind of got the feeling that there was an event. Maybe it was a key employee. Maybe the bucket had gotten full and it overflowed and Elon had enough of it. Or something happened that kind of torqued him off. And he was just in a very cranky mood, and it all kind of came out. And my take on that is that he's getting really worried about the timing of the situation, whether his company can survive. You know, in the past, we've had a lot of technologies that come along that are early and embraced, but they're perhaps not very mature or not well funded. And then other players come along and take up the banner. Normally what would have happened when the Apple II first came out is that we all jump on the Apple II and we love it, and then IBM comes out with the Sirius, IBM Sirius software and Sirius hardware, and mm-hmm. and then Apple goes under. Fortunately, with Apple did not, as it turns out. But in other cases, companies that get too early on the bandwagon sort of set the stage. And then they're not a player for the long, long term. And I think Elon may be starting to worry that with Apple's resources, finances, and expertise and development and hiring certain people away from him, that he perhaps sees the handwriting on the wall and that he doesn't have the financial resources to go toe-to-toe with Apple, because it's a money and technology game. The players with the best engineers, the best AI experts, the best financing, the best software development tools, with the big money and the big resources are going to win this game in the long run. And I think that's got some car makers worried. And I think Elon was feeling the heat, and he just had it with losing too many people and just exploded.
So what I'm wondering, do you think that Elon is concerned that he's going to be equated with the Amiga of the electric car industry?
Yeah, I think so.
Actually, I should backtrack a little bit and explain that, because some of our listeners may not know what I'm talking about. Amiga was a computer maker back in the day. So we had the Apple II series,
the TRS-80,
the
Commodore PET,
Mm-hmm. And then actually leading into the age of the Macintosh as well. And there was the Amiga. And Amiga was a very progressive platform, and it in many ways it really was ahead of the competition. And my feeling has always been, if Apple had failed, it would have been Amiga that was in the position of being that revolutionary computer maker.
Yeah.
But instead, they just kind of fizzled out, and we didn't get to have the great products for, you know, like we should have from Amiga.
I think another problem that Elon's perhaps worried about is he just introduced a new Tesla Model X that retails at about, as I recall, $130,000. A Tesla X. And then the Model S, as in Sierra, retails for about $65,000 to $75,000, as I recall. And what you'd like to do is you'd like to have these technologies percolate down into a less expensive car where you can sell more and create more volume, create more profits, and expand your product line to a broader range of people. But that takes time, and he might be running out of time. I know that there's a project to develop this Tesla $35,000 car. I don't remember if it's been announced. Do you? There was supposed to be an affordable version coming out soon.
That's a good question.
It's going to be announced pretty soon. But the thing is that you got to get your timing right. You got to get your technology percolated down from the high level cars, and you got to have enough resources and money that you can invest in the R&D, and you can bring these technologies to the masses. And it's a race against time now, whether Apple can get smarter about cars and use its massive industrial capacity to swamp Elon, or whether he can get a foothold and remain a player. And I think that's got him worried too.
Yeah, well, it's an interesting market, and it's very soon going to be even more so, because we have Apple getting ready to jump into space, or so it seems, but I think that's a pretty safe assumption. And we have the more traditional car makers looking at the electric market in kind of a new way now, because they're seeing that Apple's ready to get into the space. And I think that some car makers are watching to see if this becomes more than the niche market it is, and something that they need to be investing more into so that they can better compete. And if so, that's a lot more competition for Tesla as well.
Oh, yeah, I know. I'm keeping my eye on a car called the Chevy Bolt with a B as in Bravo, not the traditional Volt, but an all-electric car called the Bolt. And it's supposed to have a 250-mile range, and it's a pure electric car. And I think it's going to go into production in a couple years. So General Motors has its eye on this market. And, of course, the Volkswagen situation, I read an article last week that suggested that the technology's gotten to the point where you have to cut corners in order to meet emission standards, and it could be the beginning of the end for the diesel engine, and it could be a precursor that, you know, with computer technology and battery technology, we've reached a crossover point, and it could be that it's going forward now because of concerns about the environment and the industrial capacity of Apple and the technology of batteries and electric cars. The crossover has arrived, and that is the ignition point for the favorability of electric cars. And when you have a car that has a range of 70 miles, you may be hard-pressed in some metropolitan areas to get to work and back, because especially in LA, I know I'm familiar with that area, you have to live kind of far out in order to get an affordable house. Mm-hmm. And that means that you have an hour commute to get into work. And so with a 70 or a 90-mile range like an i3, without the emergency gas assist version, you know, there's what's called range anxiety. And Tesla was working on this earlier in the year to eliminate this range anxiety thing. But not many people can afford a Tesla S. And so if you're going to sell a car to the masses, you got to have a range of a couple hundred miles so that somebody can say, well, you know, I can get in the car, I can drive over, I can go to work, I can run my errands, I can drive home and plug it in, and I still got half my charge left. So there's no anxiety at all. And I don't want to spend $65,000 for this. I want to spend $35,000. So, you know, that's kind of like the tipping point. And the GM Bolt and the Teslas and the presumably the Apple car. And maybe the Nissan, what is the Nissan Electric? The name slips my mind. What is that?
That's kind of funny because I can picture the car in my head.
There's a Nissan Pure Electric that's got about a 70 or 80 mile range, and it's going to bump that up. And so pretty soon we're going to have a tipping point, and I'm looking forward to buying one of these cars. And I want to have one long range car that if I need to drive to see friends in Albuquerque, you know, you can just get on the interstate and fill it up with gas. But for around town, it makes perfect sense to, you know, go shopping, get groceries, go to a movie, you know, drive your electric car, or never have a gasoline engine running.
I like this idea.
Yeah, so I'm after.
All right. So Elon's worried, and it looks like we have some really exciting things to look forward to in the electric car market in the relatively near future. I think that's awesome. Also awesome, our sponsor this week is Casper, the mattress company. And I'm excited that they are a sponsor because I am not only talking about them, but I am a user. I have been sleeping on a Casper mattress for a couple years now, and I am loving it. It has made a big difference for me in my sleep patterns. And that's something that pleases me a lot because it's no secret that I have some serious sleep issues. And my Casper mattress has played a significant role in helping improve my sleep patterns so that I can function like a normal-ish person. So the mattresses that Casper makes, they are sandwiched together multiple layers of different types of foam, which is cool because instead of being like a regular foam mattress where you sink in and then it's like a cocoon where it does the alien face hug, but to your whole body, they support your body, but they give where they need to. So it's, you know, it's not pinching and it's not uncomfortable. It's just nice. And instead of being these massive heat radiators, like a lot of them are, it's just a comfortable bed. It doesn't overheat and it doesn't just bounce all your heat back at you. They're designed really well. They're built really well. They're really comfortable, and I'm loving mine. And even better, they are priced far less than their competition. So as an example, I have the queen size bed, and the queen size costs $850, which a comparable bed from another manufacturer is going to cost you over $1,000. And what you can do if you want to try out one of their beds for yourself, just go to their website. What you need to do is go to casper.com/TDO. And when you do that, you're going to get $50 off your purchase. So if you were to buy a queen mattress, so we can say that we're sleeping in the same bed, then you're going to be able to pick up your mattress for $800. And it's shipped to you, no shipping charges. Shows up in a box at your door. You bring it inside. You pop it out of the box, which is Time Lord technology. It is much bigger on the inside. 5 minutes later, you can climb on your bed and go to sleep if you want. It's that cool. So please go check them out because everyone deserves to sleep better. And I'm an expert on wanting to sleep better, so I know what I'm talking about. Hit their website, casper.com/TDO. And thank you, Casper, for being our sponsor this week.
Yes, thank you. And Jeff, during the break, I looked it up. It's the Nissan Leaf.
Ah, the Leaf. Yes, of course. Okay, so I could keep talking about the Elon Musk thing all day, but I'm not going to because I thought that we should take a look at the announcement that came from another computer maker today. And actually, it's Dell. Dell is buying EMC. They're spending $67 billion to buy the company. And I just thought this was really kind of interesting. A PC maker that has been known for driving the race to the bottom in the PC market. They are now buying a company that's known for their enterprise, cloud, and computing services, and spending $67 billion on it in the process. So EMC is no longer going to be a publicly traded company, but instead is going to be part of Dell. And Michael Dell will be running EMC just as he does his own computer company.
I'm surprised he didn't do this earlier. It's clear from the latest IDC report that we're on a downward slide, a permanent downward slide, and PC sales declining, 8-10% a year now for the past many quarters. I think the situation is epitomized by a friend of mine in Kansas who I was talking to her on the phone the other day, and we were talking about she was having trouble with Safari, and I said, go up in the upper left-hand corner and look at Safari preferences. And she said, wait a minute, I'm on my iPad. I don't use a Mac anymore. She says, I'm done with Macs. All I need is an iPad. I have all my knitting stuff on it. I've got browser. Wow. I've got my email. I have no need. And, you know, she's about my age. And for a long time, she fussed with, you know, a MacBook, a small MacBook plastic. What was the Mac? It was something later than a MacBook.
The white PowerBook. Ones?
It wasn't a PowerBook. I think it was a...
Well, okay. So what Apple did after they dropped the iBook line, they went to the MacBook, which was the white acrylic.
Yeah, she had one of those. Yeah. And then I think she inherited a MacBook Air from her husband and used that for a while. But she just fell in love with her iPad Air. And that's all she uses. And I think... Yeah, that's for a lot of people. That's a solution. It avoids a lot of headaches. You back up to the cloud. You don't have to worry so much about virus software because it's really locked down. You have no choice of browser. Apple makes sure that you can only use Safari so they can focus on the security of your browser. And there's a lot of security essentials in iOS that just make it, you know, easy and fun and reliable and safe to use. And that's having its effect in the PC industry. And it makes perfect sense, I think, for a company that used to sell PCs, which is a dying breed of product, to get into the software and services industry. And EMC is the perfect place to do that.
You know, I was thinking that it totally made sense as well for Dell to buy a company like this, even if it had been a different company, it made sense. And it comes down to the PC market, as you said, is on a big downward spiral. So if you're planning on continuing to be a viable company, you need to find something else that you can rely on for most of your income. And in this market, it sounds like that's services. So picking up EMC makes sense. Now, what they're doing is leaving VMware as its own publicly traded company. So VMware will be operating essentially as an independent company out of all this. So those of you that are VMware customers, don't worry. The things that you have come to expect from your company shouldn't be changing because it is still going to be independent. As far as EMC's customers, who knows? Because it's going to be part of Dell now, and they can make changes, and I assume they will, and we'll just have to wait and see what those changes turn out to be.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting thing to watch. I don't have any opinions about how well that will go. You know, Michael Dell's a bright young man, and he built an empire, and the PC industry kind of fell out from under him, and there was nothing he could do about it. So that doesn't mean he's a bad manager, so... We'll just have to watch and see what happens with EMC, but it's the cloud is the place.
John, you are such a gentleman. Such a gentleman. If Brian had been on the show with us today, I believe he may have said something very different from what you just said.
I think you're right.
But that's okay, because everyone gets to have their opinion, and you're such a gentleman with the way you express yours. Hey, we're out of time.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I know. So we have to wrap up. John, it's been so great having you here today.
Yeah, we had some technical troubles, and we couldn't get Brian on the show. It's too bad. I would have liked to hear his side of the story, too.
Well, there will be plenty of days for Brian to share his opinion. I have no doubt.
Absolutely.
Yes. But in the meantime, it gave us a chance to just have a little one-on-one talk, which I really enjoy doing.
Yeah, it was fun. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you for being here. Casper, thank you for being our sponsor today. Listeners, head over to their website, casper.com/TDO. Pick yourself up a mattress, free shipping, $50 off that order, and it's already a great deal even before that discount. So hop to it. And listeners, thank you for being here. We will see you again next week. No, tomorrow. I really need a calendar.